Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Hi, this is Salita with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your peace. Now, our host, Salita.
Hello, everyone. It is a wonderful night, great week. Hello, Mr. Brian.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I hope you've had a good week.
Oh, dude, I had a great week. Everything running according to plan, getting ready to roll into next week.
Yes. Okay, I want to say good evening to all our guests and listeners out there. This is Say Your Peace on Blog Talk Radio with Salita McCall and Brian K. Coleman, Senior, right, Brian?
Yeah, that'll be.
Okay, that's good. Okay. You guys, I want to tell you about something I just started. I started my own online newspaper. It's called We Speak Now News. And you can find it on Paperly. It's called paper.li. And just put in We Speak Now News, and my newspaper will pop up. Tonight, you guys, we are going to talk about accountability, which is a continuation of the conversation we had last week when we were talking about voting. I tried to contact 611, but she never answered. So we'll see if she'll call us tonight. If you are out there, Miss 661, call in, please. It would be nice for you to be part of this conversation. Okay, we are talking about accountability. First of all, let's find out what the definition of accountability is. Brian, do you have the definition of accountability?
No, I'll wait on you. I know you've looked it up.
Actually, you know what? I've been a very bad girl. I didn't look it up, but I can now. I can look it up now real quick, find out what the word.
I just knew you were kind of playing my fiddle, so to speak, and everything. I just knew you had it ready.
Well, I guess I fooled you, didn't I?
Oh,
I told
yeah.
you I'm unpredictable. I told you I'm unpredictable. Okay, let's see what accountability, according to dictionary.com, says. It says accountability. Well, that's funny.
Didn't come up?
No.
I said it didn't come up?
Nope, it didn't come up. Let's see if I can. Do you mean count? Yeah, hold up.
Quick draw McGraw, because you're always quick as the fingers when it comes to the internet.
I know. I got you. Here it goes. It says it is the state of being accountable, liable, or answerable.
Sounds like this word. Accountable.
Yeah, accountable is the word. Now, tonight we are going to talk about accountability.
Uh-huh.
Now, since we have the definition, the word liable is a very distinctive word. So is liable almost like a word for responsibility?
And what word is that now?
Liable, L-I-A-B-L-E, liable.
Is liable a word like responsibility? No, I would think that's two different things.
Liable? You're responsible for something. That's what liable is. Being liable of something means, let's look that up, because I don't want to tell you the wrong definition. Let's see what liable means. I think it means responsibility. To cover something, to lie. When they say liability, when they say you're liable of somebody getting hurt on your property. Are you there?
I'm here. My little angel's in the background, you know, we're making a little noise. You know how that is.
Yes. That's what I told you. It's legally responsible. You are liable for the damage caused by your action. Did you hear that?
And that meaning what?
That means you're responsible.
Liable
is a word. You're legally responsible for something.
So you're saying reliable, liable mm-hmm. leads up to being responsible.
Accountability. I'm saying that it means that you're legally responsible for something. Accountability is the word that we originally looked up.
Okay.
And one of the words with accountability or meant partner with accountability is liable.
Okay.
It says liable, and I said, what does liable mean? Liable means you're legally responsible for something that happens.
Okay, I can go with that.
So that's what it says.
I can go with that. I agree with
okay. it. Okay. All right. Now, when we talk about accountability, and what I did was I had bought the book from Tavis Smiley and Stephanie Robinson, written in 2009. That was right after President Obama was put in place. And
you say put in place.
That didn't come out right, did it? I'm sorry. I meant to say elected. Oh, God. That sounds like a conspiracy theorist is coming out, huh? Okay.
Elected
anyway.
Or selected?
Yeah, that's another word for selected. Anyway. According to his campaign promises, when it comes to the economy, it says he promised he was supposed to support a $50 billion emergency economic stimulus plan to create $1 million jobs for rebuilding infrastructure in schools and helping local governments avoid budget cuts. Okay. You heard
okay.
that? The next one was, we'll provide $10 million in relief to state and local governments hardest hit by the housing crisis to ensure continuity of vital services. Then it says, we'll introduce new legislation that would give families the option of withdrawing as much as 15% of their retirement savings up to a maximum of $2,000 without facing a penalty this year or next. Okay?
Okay.
We'll increase regulation, oversight, and disclosure requirements for financial institutions. We'll cut taxes for middle-class Americans. We'll invest in next-generation technology and manufacturing and industry to create 5 million new green jobs for Americans. We'll raise the minimum wage to a living wage for American workers. We'll create a rating system and a credit card bill of rights to attack predatory credit card practices. Now, do you know if any of those things took place?
Well, I know they changed some laws on the debit card.
Yes, the credit card, yeah.
I don't know anything about raising the wages to make it.
Yes, it is. It's not livable, but he did raise the wage.
Yeah, I remember that's what I was talking about, raising the wages where we could live. Protecting the consumer?
Yeah, that was a part of the create a rating system and credit card bill of rights to attack predatory credit card practices.
And basically all they did was they abided by the law in one area and made new rules in another area that wasn't hit by the new law because it wasn't anything enacted.
Okay.
So they just went around it.
Okay.
But that's normally what they do.
Okay. Now, we'll increase regulations, oversights, and disclosure requirements for financial institutions. We'll increase regulations, oversights, and disclosure requirements for financial institutions. That's after the bailout.
After the bailout.
Yeah, that was after the bailout, but I don't think that was done.
I wish they would have did some. Well, that's another show. We don't want to talk about bailouts for the consumer.
Now, did he give $10 billion in relief to state and local governments hardest hit by the housing crisis to ensure continuity of vital services?
Was that part of that stimulus package?
Stimulus package for who?
For the states. Local communities got stimulus money.
Yeah,
and these supposed to be, now, from what I understand, they were for what they call shovel-ready projects.
Projects that
were out of the ground anyway. They were intending to spend money, and then they didn't have to spend money. It wasn't for anything new.
Okay.
I think as a community, we caught the short end of the stick. But most
of the
projects I know here, let me say a lot in the South, were not shovel ready when it comes to our community. Shovel ready when it comes to other communities. Ours was still applying and waiting for grants. In particular, in our area, we have a city in which we live in, close to the, we call one of our major cities, Alexandria, Pineville, Louisiana. They had a shovel ready project that they had put up bonds that to do an area called what they call Susek Drive, a more affluent white area. And this was quite a bit of concrete and street to better the driving conditions in that neighborhood. And it was done, and stimulus money paid for it. But to my knowledge, nothing was on the books or was set to go on the books when it came to our community. So in this area, we received nothing from that stimulus money.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that would benefit our community, shall I say. You know, outside of maybe some of those who may have worked on some of those construction jobs. But for a community, long-term effect, community concern, nothing.
So did we receive
any money? I'm sure some may have.
We just don't know about it. Is that what you're trying to say?
Not sure about it.
You're not sure about it?
The full effect of it, let me put it like that.
Okay. Okay. Now, did he support $50 billion emergency economic stimulus plan to create $1 billion jobs for rebuilding infrastructure in schools and helping local governments avoid budget cuts? I know he did not do that. Because Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, Governor Jindal, he had the big old scissors, and he was cutting stuff left and right. So I don't know who got the $50 billion.
Let's remember this, though. Bobby Boy, Governor Jindal, also turned down stimulus money from the federal government.
So that's, yeah. So we can't say whether he did that to us because it was turned down.
Right. Jindal turned it down.
Gotcha.
He turned down some of it, let's say that, because he also federal money also.
Okay.
But the federal money that he turned down would have helped the poor, from my understanding.
Yes.
Most of the federal money he takes helps the wealthier.
Okay.
Are we surprised?
No. Now, I'm getting ready to ask questions, and I'm going to see if you answer these. It says, Are U.S. congressmen and congresswomen, this goes out to them. It says, have you made economic reform a priority issue? Have you used your vote to promote sound political policies? And have you considered the interests of your constituents in making economic decisions?
Congress?
Yes, your U.S. congressman. Don't they always tell you to go to your congressmen and congresswomen?
They're not going to do anything that's going to promote anything concerning Obama. Congress, to me, can care less. As long as Barack Obama is in office,
mm-hmm.
could do anything that they think is going to make him shine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about America. All this so-called patriotism. These people are so anti-patriot. Because I say that because a black man is in office, and I'm just calling to where I see it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do anything to destroy anything he could possibly leave as a legacy, a positive legacy.
Exactly.
Always leave a legacy. But a positive legacy they could possibly think of, because they don't want him to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Out there, this you-know-who,
mm-hmm.
Come up here and talk about serving in our White House.
Mm-hmm.
Called the White House. So how you come here and get in this house, and you bring your woman with you and your two little kids with you,
mm-hmm.
and you're now occupying our space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a backlash throughout the whole United States because of this. Not just on mm-hmm. him, but on all of us.
That's true.
But Congress is doing nothing to try to help America in my eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm wrong. I'd love to hear from them. But I think it's apparent what they're doing. If you just look at their trail, look at what they do.
Exactly.
They mock him. Okay. Talk about his wife's hips. Think about it. Stuff you never heard them do
mm-hmm. to any other first lady. No one has ever really been outright disrespectful, other than somebody throwing a shoe at Bush. Other than that, there's never been nobody really, truly disrespectful. If you have any comments, you guys, you can call in at 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. Now, okay. And let's talk about the governors and state legislatures. Have you shown leadership on economic reform, even where the federal government may be found wanting? Do you have a plan to fill in gaps in economic reform that the federal government may have overlooked? Are you addressing those communities most affected by recent economic crisis? Are you working to attract and retain strong and stable businesses in our community? Are you working to attract and retain strong and stable businesses in our community? Woo! Have you worked with labor and other local groups to understand the economic issues facing our community? And have you worked with the local leaders to develop programs to help educate citizens about ways to support and assist with improving the economic situation?
Hmm. All depends where you are.
Yes, you know what? You're right. You're right. It all depends on what state you are in. And what's your situation?
We have, some people don't understand a lot of times what's playing against our communities.
Mm-hmm.
You have companies, American companies,
mm-hmm.
say they are American.
Mm-hmm.
They're patriotic. They love this country.
Mm-hmm.
They love what they can get out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they love what they can get out of any other country.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to dollars. These are people that can live anywhere in the world they want to live. For so patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
Why would a patriot go and give ammunition to a soldier?
Mm-hmm.
Patriot, right?
Yes.
How would they take and give ammunition to another army? Why would they go and take and give secrets that could help another country? That would be unpatriotic. Am I correct?
Yep.
Okay, so let's turn it around. A employer, if they're so patriotic, why would they take jobs? Now, let's back up before I get there. Employer.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We're gonna take a break. And we'll be back with Say Your Piece on Blog Talk Radio.
Trap Star Z and Fake. There was love once, and there was love lost. She told me she loved me once. I thought there was love I bought. But when she stood by my side, I knew that she wasn't one. Just now find out that she loved me. Damn, get the gun. I thought she wanted to run from it all. But I'm the one that she called. Racing for her love, I'm never quick to stall. But I'm the one that hold her down. Make her feel special like when friends and family around. I wanna do it right, I don't wanna mess up the time. I put her up high so the world can see her shine. She's down my mind 24/7. It's like I died and went to heaven. Cause she my lucky 777.
When I fall, you hold me. When I cry, you wipe the tears. When you're there, I don't fear the darkness, cause you're all I need. You're all I need, you're all I need. You're all I need, you're all I need.
Play the light, I let her see everything, like my heart is a sight. But your friends try to tell me everything that's going on, but I can't help to believe in everything that's going wrong. I had her at once, what happened to the real her, what happened to the real me? It's like I've been flushed out, but sign they helped me out that sea. Now this is the kind of world I did, I hate to be in. I can't let something go that I'm unfair to be in. At the start of this relationship, girl, you broken in. The Bible says a man adultery is a sin. I guess you thought hurting me, what's your way to win? But the main thing is to forgive and get. Well, I learned to forgive and let go.
When I fall, you hold me. When I cry, you wipe the tears. When you're there, I don't fear the darkness, cause you're all I need. You're all I need, you're all I need. You're all I need, you're all I need. When you're there, I can't breathe. You're all I need, you're all I need.
All right, you guys, we are back with Say Your Piece on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Salida, and co-host, Brian. And you guys, if you want to call in, you can call in at 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749 and join us in our conversation about accountability. Now, Brian, you left off on. Go ahead.
We're talking about what they call being a patriot. I was making an association or analogy. If we look at the government, and I was using a soldier, for example, he gave away secrets or gave away ammunition to another country or another army in another country, we would say that's anti-American, right? Anti-patriot.
Uh-huh.
Or not being a patriot.
Uh-huh.
That's something that would benefit another country while making money for that particular individual. Am I correct?
Yep.
Sell arms. I'm going to sell secrets. And I benefit myself, but it's going against my country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's turn around and look at corporate America. Corporate America, will be American companies,
mm-hmm.
go abroad to other countries,
mm-hmm.
and hire people in other countries. Well, why do you hire people in other countries? They say they hire them because they can do them, first of all, they can hire them cheaper.
Yep.
They have less taxes to pay them.
Yep.
They have less benefits to pay them. So, that means they make more money. If I look at a soldier that would have sold secrets, sold arms to make money,
mm-hmm.
and then I look at a company that's given jobs to other citizens in other countries to make money,
mm-hmm.
make more profits, what's the difference? The only difference between the two I see is that the government put laws in place which allow the company to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
exactly.
laws in place which disallows the soldier to do it. Am I correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
Both the same thing. They're both benefiting a, so then American law, a corporation is an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both helping an individual make money.
Mm-hmm.
They're both going against the people of the country. So, I mean, this is a forest. People don't really know that they've been used. And they don't even know it.
Yeah.
So I
mm-hmm.
think what we need to do, we need to look at the big picture. The big picture is that the public is used because corporations control the politicians. They control them. They put money into their campaigns to set laws up which lets them get around what some countries don't allow.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and pay less taxes if you hire outside of America.
Mm-hmm.
You can also take some money that you're making and they go hide it in other bank accounts. These are the rich. The poor don't have that money. The middle class mostly don't have that money to do that.
Yep.
It's mostly the rich. Now, not that they're going to be poor. They just want to be richer than what they currently are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people say, well, you just got it against rich people. No. What we're saying is, folks, everybody should pay their share based upon what they do if they say they're American.
Yep.
Now, if you ask me, do you think I want to pay all the taxes? No. I don't want to pay it because I don't think I'm being treated right where I should pay it. I'm not even a citizen here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I was born here. My parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, great-great-greats all the way back 400 years earlier were born here. But because of their constitution, I'm not even real.
Tell me why you say that.
Pardon?
Why do you say that?
Because according to the laws of America, or the Constitution of America, which is the basis for the laws, I'm still three-quarters of a human being. But
oh, you suck.
Only humans are supposed to pay taxes, but yet I still pay taxes.
No, wait, so you're saying you're subhuman, and it states that in the Constitution that you're actually not supposed to be accounted for?
Well, yeah, so to speak. Let's say that. It says that I don't have it right before me, but it doesn't, let's say like it doesn't equal me out to everyone else. As
okay.
a black, let me say, not me individually, but as a black person.
But wasn't that changed?
It could change, but they haven't changed it. They made amendments to the Constitution. They didn't go in and change the Constitution. They just made an amendment. An amendment is not changed. They need to change the Constitution. But
mm-hmm.
they don't want to change it because people don't want to face the fact that these hypocrites
mm-hmm.
here in America, which runs this government, don't want to say that their forefathers who wrote this Constitution were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't go in and change a wrong, they just amended it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not changing it. That's amending. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you red is red, but I turn around and really make it black and I change it to red, then I've changed it. But I don't go and make an amendment to my statement. I change it because I know it's wrong, but that's never been done. Never been done. And how long has that Constitution been standing?
For a long, long time.
1776?
Yep. Yep.
So we as a people must know we are not truly, I mean, so let's go back and look at, and I'm kind of jumping here, but just to add fuel to the fire, so to speak, look at the our right to vote.
Yeah.
Is it our born right to be able to vote here in this country? Or because we're born here, do we have the right to vote? No.
No. Nope.
How are we able to vote? What would you say, Salida?
How are we able to vote?
Yeah, what allows us to vote in this country?
Taxpayers' dollars.
Right. But I mean, what law? What do they have in place for us to vote?
They have the Voters' Rights Act.
Right. Act, right? Voters' Rights Act. Act.
Yep.
Notice we have an amendment and we have an act.
Yep.
What do we need an act for? If we supposed to be able to vote like anybody else, that's because this country was based upon the privilege of white Caucasian men. We need an act. And that act, folks, has to be renewed every, what, 20 years?
Yes, every 20 years that act has to be refreshed and renewed.
Now, Salida, let's say, I don't know how long it's been in, 19, 18 years from now, they decide they don't want to renew it. What happens?
But you know what? We never think about it because actually they should do away with the Voters' Rights Act. They should with it.
That's why my question is, in 20 years, 18 years, 19 years, wherever it is, when next time it's up to renew, it's just been renewed not so long ago. If it's not renewed, what happens to us? We can't vote.
Yep.
And when you can't vote, guess what? Everything can be reversed.
Yep.
And guess what? Then you are what can be thrown right back to where you used to because you have no say-so in nothing whatsoever.
Yep.
I mean, overnight this thing could change, but people don't even know. Oh, we're all equal. Shut up. You're not equal. You got to act. They got a born-given right to vote, and you have an act. When white children are born here in America, white women don't have an act.
Nope, they sure don't. Voters' right. Yes, is there women can vote? No, that's not an act. I don't think that's an act either.
I've never heard of an act for women to vote. They fell into play with white men. They just prevented the white women from voting at one time. I may be wrong. If somebody knows, you know, they could call us at 347-677-1749. But I know we have to have an act to vote.
Yep.
If we don't wake up and see what's going on right around us, we have a Congress. Is it a Congressperson here in Louisiana? That's David Vitter. That was David Vitter. That's a congressman, right?
Yes, David Vitter.
And I don't know, some people may not know, Louisiana, David Vitter was cited on a list? A madam's list, right?
Yes, he had a prostitute.
And this was plastered all over the United States. And because Vitter is so adamantly against President Barack Obama, they overlooked that big time. Even the big churchgoers, it didn't matter. oh, he needs a second chance. And they voted him overwhelmingly right back in office. Yeah.
Sure
but
did.
This is the Bible Belt, Salita.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What does that tell you?
That tells you that it doesn't matter what you do if you are against Obama. We don't care what your indiscretions are. We just need a lot of people that's against him. That's all.
As long as you stand against him, we already got some against him. We don't need to take a chance on nobody else. So we're going to stick with you.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
that is so right.
I mean, we have to wake up and smell the coffee. This thing is not going to get any, I don't think it's going to get any better, I mean, until it gets worse.
Well, you know, they were talking about us hitting into World War III. You know that, right?
Hitting what now? I'm sorry.
That we're going to hit World War III.
Yeah, I've been hearing that. I've been hearing that.
Yeah.
And,
not
and
to
it,
say that we hope it don't happen,
that's
but
scary
they
too.
Have been talking about it.
It's just, I don't know, people have to, to me, it's wake up and see the real deal. What if people say, well, what's this, what should we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, first thing I say we should do is stop backstabbing each other.
Yeah.
Stop talking about each other. Instead of looking for faults in each other, let's look for some common ground in each other. Let's look for some common goals that we may be able to come together on, because this thing gonna get worse before it get better.
Who are you talking about?
Black people.
Oh.
Some of the worst people in the world when it comes to dogging each other out.
Yeah. We learned that very well from the master.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we do
on
it.
On how to treat each other.
We spend sometimes more time on dogging each other out than we do looking for solutions,
mm-hmm.
or teaching our past so we don't repeat it. You know, some people say, why do you keep going back in the past?
You can't learn for the present if you don't go backwards to see where the mistakes were made
and where
things were incomplete.
And we just give example with that Voting Right Act. If you don't learn what it's all about, guess what? Taken right out from under you.
That's right. That's right.
You be back
okay.
on the Some people think, oh, that's not possible. Okay, you keep thinking
yeah.
that. Another thing, Salita, we talk about Congress
mm-hmm.
and how they set things up. Notice how they set it for the corporation. So now you slave labor. That takes away from people making a livable wage that don't commit
yep.
crimes, right?
Yep.
Slave labor allows the prison system to now contract out prison labor to corporations at a reduced price. The prison is going to get a certain amount. The inmates are going to get pennies. I watched one guy on a show the other day. One guy was getting out of prison. He had been there 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a total of $75 coming to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is now grant you the money that he had made. A little bit he's making, I think his one guy was making like, I think he was making $2.30 an hour, and some infraction he had dropped him down to 73 cents an hour.
Oh, my God.
73, an infraction caused him 73 cents an hour. I don't recall what the infraction was, but it couldn't have been bad because he was still working. But that's just used to use the inmates for slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use the inmates for slave labor, make those inmates go back in their own neighborhoods and do some labor.
Yep.
Back to their own community, not somebody else's community. Back to their own community.
Yep.
That's all the slave labor I see should be done. Help them learn, have them go in and help do something to the street, to the drainage, to the landscape, to the areas in which they live, so that when they come back to those areas, they then have a better place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Them, you know, but it's not going to be that. It's going to something going to help the corporations. Again,
yep.
put these laws in. What about that 14th Amendment, Salita?
Yes, that's the 14th Amendment.
What did we need the 14th Amendment for? Again, another amendment. We had the Emancipation Proclamation with so-called free the slaves, right?
Yep.
1865?
Mm-hmm. 18 months after they were already supposed to be free.
18 months after that we were supposed to already be free, they didn't did an amendment. For what? Because the Emancipation Proclamation abolished slavery. The amendment brought slavery right back.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it sure did.
Some people are saying, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Slavery is not legal here in America.
Yeah.
I challenge any of you to read the Constitution. I mean, I'm sorry, read the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Are you there? Hello? Oh, my host dropped the call. I guess he'll be calling back in a few minutes. Okay. While we wait for him to call back in, let's talk about our community leaders and faith-based organizations. It says on here, do you have a plan or initiative to monitor the political progress of your economic reform policies and promises made by our governmental leaders and to advocate when necessary? Do you have a plan or an initiative to educate members about the progress of economic reform and on the ability, availability of education options in our community? Do you help people in our community participate in our local economic reform through awareness raising, of volunteering and voting on economic issues? Do you educate members about how to manage their personal resources? Have you worked to promote financial literacy in our community? Do you offer additional programs to expose members to different economic opportunities such as investment clubs, vocational training, and job opportunities? And the last question was, just one moment, let me see if I get him in here. I'm bringing Brian back. You there?
Can you hear me?
Brian?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
I don't know. I went out.
Yeah, you went out, huh? Okay.
It wasn't for burgers and fries, that's for sure.
I was asking the questions while you were out. And go ahead and finish what you're saying. But I went into the community leaders and faith-based organizations, and I broke down the questions that are in there that you want is a checklist for them too. But go ahead and finish saying what you're saying.
Well, I think basically what I was saying was if we look at that Voters' Rights Act, we'll look at the Constitution claiming us three quarters of a human being. If we look at the 14th Amendment,
mm-hmm.
I mean, all these type things here has never been, I mean, I don't know, some people want to say that, we're just conspiracy theorists or you guys are always just looking for things. I mean, this is real, though. It's
yeah.
Not looking for it. It's there. It's telling me like, I got a gun laying underneath the pillow, and because you don't see it right away, I'm pulling the pillow back. Oh, you just been looking for things. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real. And if Congress, if America, if these so-called organizations want to make us a part of this apple pie,
mm-hmm.
was for real, they would be out fighting this injustice. But they're not fighting it because they're fine with it.
Yeah.
Allow it.
Yeah.
They've never. I mean, think about it. All these organizations who say that they're for equality, they want right for everyone. Who has ever addressed these things? Who has ever addressed these things?
Well,
to me, it proves that America has another. I mean, the politicians and those who control the politicians have another agenda.
Well, it's all about, and I don't want to get off the subject a little bit, but it's all about New World Order.
Right.
We can't be fiddle-faddling around with what they're trying to do. And like I said when we were talking on the other show, on 1110 AM, KTTP, keeping you connected, Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can catch them on KTTP, 1110am.com at 9:30. That's Brian's show. And we were talking about how many people literally run the world. We're not just talking about the United States. We're talking about the world. They're a group of 125 multi-billionaires by the name of the Bilderberg Group. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that, but it's the Bilderberg Group. And they literally are the ones who's pulling the strings for everything that is happening right now. It's about greed and power. Greed and power, greed and power. That's what it's about. We're just casualties. And we're really in their way. We're in their way because we keep having babies. The more babies we have, the more it's a burden on them. It's a burden on the medical system. It's a burden on the education system. It's a burden on the financial system.
Let's be clear now. They want a certain amount of babies, but they don't want as many babies.
Yes.
In other words, some people I know they're going to say I'm crazy, but, you know, that's fine. They say that anyway. It's just like spading and neutering a dog.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But they want the puppies. They like them. They like the kittens,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it's too many of them. So let's spay mm-hmm. and neuter quite a few of them to
mm-hmm.
slow the population growth down, rate
mm-hmm.
down.
Yep.
We don't need that many puppies. We don't need that many kittens.
We need to have them under control. We need to be able to control them.
How do they go out and control the wild game population?
By going out and getting rid of the ones that's, if it's overpopulated in certain areas.
They allow people to have hunting season.
Yeah. So there's a reason for hunting season.
Keep down the population of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Neutering and spading helps keep down the population of animals.
Yep.
Now, eugenics helps keep down the population of animals.
And if you don't know anything about eugenics, you can look up Bill Gates and his wife and eugenics. You can look up, what's the other guy's name? I think Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers was for eugenics too.
What's the name came out? Ted Turner came out.
Ted Turner is the other one for eugenics.
You can go up and look up abortion. It's a form of
eugenics.
It's a form of it because you're killing a life.
Yeah.
But we have to look. I mean, some people, I can do what I want to do. Okay. You guys don't know you played into that.
Mm-hmm.
You played into that. Well, they tell you think you're doing what you want to do. Okay, you go do what you want to do when it's something against one of the laws and see what happens. They say it's legal to smoke. Go smoke some weed and see what happens.
Well, it is legal in some.
And I'm not telling people that because I don't, never have, and never will. But my point I'm trying to make is they make legal what they want to make legal. They set up their rules to benefit them.
But it's a part of control. We're not understanding. This is strategically put in place. Every law, everything that's been done was put in place on purpose. Everything has an end result. And the end result is to continue to keep us under control. What people don't realize is when they brought in the Voters Act and when they fought against voters and, I told you about the Black Code, I told you about Jim Crow, I told you about all that. That was to keep the population not only down but under control. The problem is, and we were talking about that earlier, and I posted on my Facebook page, right now, white babies are at a decrease. So eventually you're going to become the minority. And because of the way white people see themselves as being privileged and supreme and superior, we're going to do all we can to keep them from thinking that they really, really are doing something. And that's why the voter suppression is put in place. The cuts that they're taking away, stuff that are going to help us, help the poor. that's why poverty is where it's at. That's why you have army soldiers, you have army soldiers, you have military personnel that are working hard protecting this country and other countries, and they come home and they're on welfare. That's why you have all this plus this stuff in place.
And I want to make a plain on my point. They think they're protecting this country, but they're really protecting the special interests of big corporations. That's what they're
doing. Exactly.
But they're going under the country, not the these soldiers are totally in the dark. And some, now not all, some are, and some know that they have to the consequences. But I think for the most part, most of them are totally in the dark and really think they're protecting the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I dare to question and say, how many countries, what's the actual chances of a country invading America, actually invading America? Yeah, you have, I say, potential threats of things happening here and there. But those threats have always been there. And I think some of these threats are pushed up so that they could keep this control over the people.
Hold that thought. We're going to take another break, and we will be back on Blog Talk Radio with Say Your Piece.
Your love
We are back with Say Your Peace on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call in, you can call us in at 347-677-1749. And I want to welcome everyone who's in the chat room right now. If you have any comments, which I love to write, I'm chatting back and forth with them, which I love doing that. Why Brian basically does all the talking. But I want you guys, we're talking about tonight, we're talking about accountability. And Brian, if you want to go ahead and finish your conversation or the discussion that you were, your comments.
Yeah, basically it was just saying that our eyes definitely need to be open. Because, I mean, there's so many people that I've talked to that some know that we are kind of at a crossroads, so to speak. Others really feel that it's a new day. It's not like it used to be. When they say it's not like it used to be, it only means that it's the same road. We got different ways of traveling that road. Some used to travel with sheets and hoods. Now they have suits on. The same thing happening now, but it's systematically happening. It's not so-called just in your face. In some cases, it's in your face.
Exactly.
We see how people being murdered.
Yeah.
We see how murders being covered up.
Yes.
People being looked over for advancements because of the color of their skin. We still have people with college degrees that are making less than people with high school diplomas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have some people that are far more advanced that can't get a job versus people that haven't even completed high school that get it, that get one. It's the same thing that's happening years ago that's still happening now. You're just now in a more advanced because they have more laws to protect the wrongdoers.
Okay. So one of the questions, and I'm glad you said that, because one of the questions, and these are the questions to the community leaders and faith-based organizations. It says, do you have a plan or an initiative to monitor the political process of economic reform policies and promises made by our governmental leaders and to advocate when necessary? Do you have a plan or an initiative to educate members about the progress of economic reform and the availability of education options in our community? Do you help people in our community participate in local economic reform through awareness raising, volunteering, and voting on economic issues? Do you educate members about how to manage their personal resources? Have you worked to promote financial literacy in our community? Do you offer additional programs to expose members to different economic opportunities such as investment clubs, vocational training, and job opportunities? And do you help people in our community understand the basic economics? So this is a question to all your faith-based community leaders. Now, I do have a big, big thing. Hold up. Hello? Hello? I guess they don't want to talk. You still there, Brian?
I'm still here.
Okay. 313-270-7943 just tagged in, but they're not saying. Anyway, I want to welcome you. I'm sorry. Anyway, so this is my problem. You have all these churches. We speak on prosperity. But if you go into neighborhoods, do you see prosperity?
No.
Okay.
Not hardly.
Okay.
The problem, you were just giving some different things. The problem is, Salida, we are never going to gain wealth through politics. Let's just make it plain.
Well, now, wait a minute now. What kind of politics? Are you just talking about regular politics, governmental politics? What kind of politics are you talking about?
Politics, governmental politics, meaning no laws are going to be enacted that's going to help the black community become wealthy.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. Now, there are laws that will enact and help the white community become wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's been happening right in our face.
Mm-hmm.
We're fine with it. you talk about corporate welfare.
Mm-hmm.
People are all for corporate welfare, but against reparations. Our own people.
I know.
Corporate welfare was a gift. Reparations
was earned.
Was already earned, and is back payment for money that was not been paid. Well, we're fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we as a people, if these religious organizations and organizations don't get off their backside and stop scratching and begging for someone else to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves,
we're
going to be in the same fix that we're in.
Yep.
I get so tired of seeing these big, large, mega churches.
Hmm.
That's not problem because there's a mega church. That's not the problem. But where's the business to go along with the mega church?
Hmm.
Where's the business employing the people of the neighborhood that you reside in, or at least your church members?
Mm-hmm.
If a church can, if you got enough money to build these big edifices, you can build these multi-million-dollar facilities. What's wrong with you putting that kind of money into into inventory?
Mm-hmm.
If you got that many people where you can build like that, surely you have some expertise in your congregation. You don't have to. The minister doesn't have to have the one that knows how to run a grocery store. He doesn't have to be the one that knows how to run a restaurant. He doesn't have to be the one that knows how to run business that we're speaking of to employ the people, whatever the business is. But what he does have to do is be smart enough to surround himself with people out of his congregation that's going to do something to help the people. I'm not talking about raising funds for the church would help raise his salary. That's not what I'm talking
about. Or buy him that new car.
Right. But more so his salary now, because they take salary and buy a new car. So raise his salary. I'm talking about, I'll give an example. Let's say we have a church, something that's needed in our neighborhood, or what? Grocery store, right? In some
Yes.
With wholesome food.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure if you look long enough, there are some people that's got some experience in groceries. Even in this wicked place which we live, I see black manager faces on the wall in some of these grocery stores. I know some of these managers are members of black congregations. I know these same churches spend millions of dollars on different things throughout the year. Why can't those millions be spent on inventory and let those people that know what they're doing help set up that store, employ people within the community to work within a grocery store, give the community wholesome food so that they can live better? They can even go so far as educating on good food to eat. There are so many programs. That's just one thing. That empowers the community. And the money goes back into that same church and helps build that church.
Yeah.
Think about it. The proceeds or the profits go back to the church. Or if church don't want to direct connect themselves with it, they can always set up another entity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so basically, what we're talking about is we got to start doing something, and we got to start pushing entrepreneurship among the people of the community.
Well, you know what? First of all, before you say that, one of the questions were, have you worked to promote financial literacy in our community? Now, and the other question was, do you educate members about how to manage their personal resources? First and foremost, you need to do those two things first. You need to sit down with someone, with a class or members of your organization, and teach them a budget. Once you teach them that budget, and you basically kind of let them do their thing, and they come back to you with the end result of that budget, then you can tell them, okay, if this is all you have to live off of, let me show you a way that we can increase this in some other way. And then you work on making it better for them, telling them how, I'm not too hot on investment clubs, but extra training, that's when entrepreneurship comes in to play, when you realize that some of these jobs out here don't have a future, whether people want to admit that or not. A lot of these jobs don't have a future. A lot of them don't have their own insurance, medical compensation. They have compensation, workman's comp, because majority of them, that's the rule. They have to have that. But as far as your medical insurance, they don't have that. So how do I need to make a way of making up the difference in what I'm not bringing home or what I don't have. After I pay taxes, after I pay all the bills, I don't have enough to even get my own medical insurance. Okay, so we need to find a way to compensate that. Are we doing that in the communities, or are we talking about prosperity again? Are we? Are we talking about prosperity that is going to benefit me as a person, or is it going to benefit the church? The more money we make, the more we look good on the outside, the more we can put back in the church.
Well, you know, part I can't stand about certain prosperity teaching or preaching, as I hear about this, all you got to do is pray. Just pray, and God will give it to you. Just take this handkerchief and lay over your head. Take this water we blessed over and take this water and rub it under your neck 3 times a day. These are rituals. I mean, some of these places, so-called churches, I say so-called because you have a lot of churches that mean good and do good. But some of these places and people are taking the public and laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, come on now. If you selling hundreds of thousands of bottles of water, you think each one of them bottles get blessed over? They bottling that stuff from the tap and they send it straight to you. And let's say they did bless over it. If you read any scripture at all, and you just look at what scripture just explains to you about Jesus. Jesus prayed to the Father for help, but he also worked. So no matter what the work is, if the work is for raising the consciousness of the people, or if you're working to get a better life, it's still called work. Physically doing something and praying. In other words, you got to make some steps so someone's going to, so God is going to help you. But we can't sit there and just sit there on our couches and pray, or go to bed and pray, and hopefully one day, oh, I prayed and God dropped this sack of money out of the sky. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then so many people fall in that trap and just pray. We don't have to do nothing but pray. You stay to giving your money up, because God going to bless you because you're giving your money up, and somebody else is getting rich off of it and living a lavish lifestyle.
Well, I'm not going to worry about it. I just gave them my phone bill. I'm not going to worry. God's going to make sure my phone bill get paid. Now, I guarantee you that preacher's phone bill going to be paid, his cell phone bill, and all the family, every bill this family got going to get paid. Yours might not be. And I hate to say this, but don't come to the church and say, my bill, my lights got cut off. Can you help me? Okay? Because if you do your taxes and you itemize, isn't that a tax deductible? I bet you your deductible don't look as well as theirs do. You know what I'm saying? What they bringing home every month.
Right.
Okay? You walk around, you trying to figure out how I'm going to pay this, and you got a church, a mega church, that's saying all you're trying to do is use them. But I guarantee you, when they go home, they can flip on their lights. Please don't get it wrong. I'm not changing the subject, but I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with paying your tithes. But you guys, you got to really look at that. You got to really look at the whole prospect about paying tithes.
You got to take care of home first.
Yes.
How can you go and pay anyone else if you can't take care of home?
If you can't take care of home, how can you take care of somebody else's home? Because that's basically what you're doing. Whether you have a building fund. I'm trying to figure out what the building fund is if you have a mega church. The building fund is to build the building, right? That's what they were all, my interpretation of a building fund is to build a building.
Well, it's normally a plan to build more buildings. Not businesses, buildings. That's the problem.
Buildings. Yeah.
It's just building. We're going to build a life center. We're going to build a cathedral. We're going to build a church. We're going to build a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere to keep the children while we're in church. What about the money-making, bona fide, legal, legit businesses that's going to employ the people, make a profit, and just like any other business? What about those?
Why can't you get a factory?
Get what now?
Why can't you build a factory?
Right.
If you want to build something, get with one of these companies and tell them if you build a factory or assist us in building the factory, we'll get your workers. You don't have to be a real major big company or big product. It could be simple as toilet paper. Company that makes toilet papers. You know? It don't have to be nothing major, but at least out of my congregation, I can at least employ 1,000 maybe at the most.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 at the most. So I don't understand why can't these churches do this? And another thing we were talking about, teaching them the basic, just the basic economics, to understand how important it is for you to keep a good budget, to keep money in the bank for a rainy day, how economics basically works, how do your money work, and how your money works and how you can make it work for you. You don't have to be broke all the time. You're broke because sometimes it's the mismanagement of your money. If you get disciplined, you teach people how to be disciplined with their money, they'll stick to a certain budget, and they won't, you know, it won't get out of hand. If you have to use it for a rainy day, it's there. See, we're like you said, we're looking for a government handout. We're looking for the government to come in and give us this and give us that, because it's too hard to try to get it on your own. It's way too hard. And despite what we want to say about our people have become, to a certain extent, privileged people. Okay, we're lazy to the point where we don't want to work hard. We don't want to do anything, and we feel like we have the privilege to act that way.
Right.
I call it a lazy privilege because that's the way we feel. We feel that we have a right to not to work and do this. We have a right to beat the government out their money. We have a right to whatever the government hands out, whoa, I got to run and get them. I got to have it. I got to have it. And get mad because you don't agree with them.
Right.
Nothing wrong with, for instance, the government phones. If you working every day, why do you need a government phone?
Right.
If you working, making sure everything is being taken care of, why would you lie to get on food stamps?
Right.
Why? It's not for you. And I'm not saying, and you have to keep in mind, too, and I know economically the situation is not too hot for us when it comes to jobs. But when jobs were good, you were working at McDonald's and Burger King. You didn't want a real job. And that's the point. That is a lot of point with a lot of people. They don't want to work a real job. They want to work just enough so that they can get the food stamps and welfare. Did you know that? A lot of people do that, and they'll brag about it. Man, I got to go do these couple of hours in here in McDonald's, and then shoot, I get my check at the end of the month. I don't care. I still get my little money. And that's the mentality of our peoples. Not all of them, but a lot of them have that mentality.
Well, a lot
and
of...
I don't know why they feel that they're privileged. They are lazy, privileged people.
Well, I think it's more not that they are. Let me put it like this: not that they are.
Don't sugarcoat.
No,
don't take up for them.
The word I'm trying to think of is they're not knowingly lazy. It's a systematic lazy, meaning that they think this is the way it should be because somebody else in the family did it before me, and I'm just following suit. And I'll take that to turn that table around. In my family, I decided that I wanted to be an entrepreneur because somebody else in my family was an entrepreneur. So it works the same way in another family. Somebody else said, well, I need to get my check, or somebody else in the family getting that check. You know what I'm saying? So it's a learned behavior, whether it's a positive or to a negative. Some people don't really realize there is a negative. They think it's a way of life. This is what we do.
Hello? Hey, you got some static somewhere.
Got static? Let me try another line. Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. But a lot of people figure that this is what we're supposed to do. And thinking that this is what we're supposed to do is really hurting us in the long run.
Mm-hmm. So you saying it's systematic? I'm sorry. I don't.
It's systematic. Think about it. It's the same positive effect it can have. It can have a negative effect. It's learned. It's the same thing like racism is learned.
Okay, but that's not for everybody. Just because my mom and dad didn't want to work and didn't want to do nothing,
no,
always tried to hustle.
It's
don't
always
mean that
some
I
that's
going.
It's
that
always
way.
Some. Just like it's always some parents who do good and children turn out bad. It's always some who do children turn out good. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
For the most part, a lot of people, they don't get it. They don't understand how the system is playing them.
Okay.
That's my take on it. They don't understand how they've been played by the system, played like a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a system, and believe me, there's money in poverty, and the system is not trying to get them out of it because there's money in it. Do you know all of the people that go to these grocery stores that buy freely because they have food stamps?
Oh yeah.
Do you know if the food stamps didn't exist and the people bought out of their pocket, it would be a whole lot of conservative buying? A lot of people don't realize that. There's money in poverty. Because when you know somebody else is paying it, you don't worry about it as bad. And a lot of people really don't realize it.
Okay, so what advice would you give to our community leaders, our faith-based organizations, when it comes to the economic political, well, you can't really deal with political participation when it comes to getting your members prepared for whatever is coming their way when it comes to the downsizing of jobs, the slow of the money flow? What would you tell them?
I'm saying that the, especially religious institution, because they have members, they have needy members, they have members that are going to be needy, and they have wealth. They need to stop sitting on this wealth and start investing this wealth back into their membership. Stop sitting there on all that money, doing nothing but putting it in somebody else's bank to draw interest for them. It's so stupid. When you could take that money turn around and put it into your people. What good is it to have money in the bank when you're not going to do a thing with it but make somebody else rich?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Now, if you have it in your bank, that's one thing. But
yeah.
when you got it in your enemy's bank, you're doing nothing with it because it's just sitting there, so he's using it.
Mm-hmm.
And beating you across the head with it. So why not take that money, and if we had stopped with all this madness, we could come together with some of our brother or sister churches and make something huge that would be such an impact on our community, it would be earth-shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Just think if 3 or 4 or 5 churches, not 20, but just 3 or 4 or 5 churches came together and formed a board financially and
mm-hmm.
built something for the community.
Yeah.
Some of our wealthy athletes, wealthy actors, wealthy entrepreneurs that have been successful come together financially and put some of this money together. We hear about
mm-hmm.
people like 50 Cent, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, you know, and all the rest of those guys, the big sports people. I can't think of the boxer's name, but all these guys that make all this money, I watch these guys throw money, some of them, not all of them, but I watch some of these guys, I can't think of the boxer's name. He throws money away just on gambling. But some of these
mm-hmm.
people throw some of this good money at positive things in the community. I know some of them have some programs, but these programs are mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
I call them mediocre because it's so much bigger that they could be doing to impact a mass of people versus the few that they're impacting.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving people these baskets with a turkey in it, start giving them a job.
Yeah.
Programs to train them to go into the job that you want to give them. And then they can
yeah.
do more, provide for their family. They can do more. I mean, these same churches, organizations, outside of that, they can set up their own leagues. When I say leagues, they want to teach your children to some kind of, what do they call it, leadership. Set up your
mm-hmm.
own little sports league.
Yeah.
Stop sending them to everybody else's sport league. Do something on your own. Teach them etiquette. Teach them accountability. Teach them budgeting.
Yeah.
Make it part of the reason you get this job is you got to take this class on budgeting. You have to take this class on learning how to our family should act. You can make some of this stuff mandatory. And you would be amazed on how the community would look in a few years after something changed, something has been put in their mind. Think about it. We got the dumb tube, the television,
mm-hmm.
putting all of this negative in our people's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Every, we're seeing stupidity on this TV.
It's
every
ridiculous.
Somebody's half-dressed, somebody's seducing somebody else, somebody's sleeping with somebody's husband, some little child is talking back smack, smack, smack at their parent, and this is what they call everyday life. And guess what? After you see this stuff for so long, it becomes a norm. The children see it, the adults see it.
It's acceptable. It starts becoming acceptable.
Yeah. That's how they change the mind, and people don't realize
mm-hmm.
it. Why is it that so many countries and other countries look upon black people as being so bad? Why is it? And they don't even live over here. People don't realize it. Why
mm-hmm.
they look at us being so bad? Because when
mm-hmm.
they see these negative, stereotyped movies, that's
mm-hmm.
what they put in these other countries. That's the only thing they know about us. So when they see us in real life, they clench onto their purses. They turn the other way. They stumble on their words. They don't know how to take you. Police officers drawing guns quickly shooting you.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared of it. They figure that you are the beast, and they don't really know who the real beast are.
Yep.
So we have to, it is important and so imperative that our religious institutions get back to the basics of taking care of their congregation first and then going into their community. I mean, it's so, it just should be natural. You don't
exactly.
see lions taking care of tigers.
Nope.
Well, we're not animals. Come on, man. Get real. The point of it is, is that other community, he won't hire me. He hired Mr. Charlie just because he's white. Hell, he hired his own.
Yeah.
So you need to hire your own.
I
don't understand why that's so. Now, if there's a tax dollar involved, that's a different animal. If there's a tax dollar involved, we should be just as equal. But when I see somebody hire their own over one of their businesses, it's hard for me to get mad because they have the privilege to do that because it's theirs. I was watching this show briefly.
Hey, Brian, hold that thought. Let's take another break. We're getting ready to take another break with Say Your Piece on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call in, it's 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. And we will return.
Show you, so my mind, I wanna hold you down.
right, you guys, we are back with Say Your Piece on Blog Talk Radio, 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. Now, Brian,
yes, ma'am.
What are you talking about?
We were actually talking about organizations and religious organizations in particular because of the money that's coming into these organizations, the continuous money from the people. A lot of them who need some guidance, need jobs, need to stop relying on others for a job, who should be relying on their own.
Mm-hmm.
We also, I think, talked about knowing that it's no way we can rely on
mm-hmm.
politics to bring wealth to the black community. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep pressure, of course, on the politicians to try to help keep some kind of half decent equality, because I don't foresee it being equality as equal on both sides, but some kind of half decent equality when it comes to us. We can
uh-huh.
see through major laws that we are at the bottom of the comes to any kind of thing being done for us. But we have
mm-hmm.
to start doing for self. I mean, come on, Salita. We're talking about we have nothing. We have, what are we, the third largest purchasing power of a...
of the world?
I think of the world. Is it of the world? I know it's of the, what they call, not third world, they call it civilized country, what's the word I'm looking for? Can't think of the word, but we have some big buying power. We have $1 worth of buying power.
Okay.
We're not bringing it to a nucleus and taking that buying power and putting it to good use. We buy with everybody else but our own. Those businesses that we have here that we could buy from. I was looking at this show called just a small segment called Sweetie Pie. I think it's on Oprah's network. I was at my parents' house earlier, and they switched the satellite on, and it's a black lady, I think, that has a pie, started off with a pie company, I think, now she has a restaurant. But here she has a restaurant. It's a nice-sized restaurant. You know, it's not real small, but it's not mega-large, but it's a nice-sized restaurant. And it's a family-ran restaurant. And she hired a new chef. And the chef that she hired was a white chef. No other white faces in a restaurant. She said, the only problem with this chef, I think he's innovative. He'll try things. I like a recipe he come up with. She did a class. But what stood out that she liked this chef was because he came with an innovative recipe, but he knew nothing about soul food, and that's what she cooked. And I'm thinking to my mind, that's like us, me going into a Italian restaurant, and there are other Italians out there that could cook the food, but they liked something I came up with, but I didn't know nothing about Italian food, but they're going to hire me as their chef. I didn't see this, but we want to make sure we make everybody inclusive. We don't even have a job, but we go hire other people, and we have the least amount of companies
mm-hmm.
among anyone.
Yeah, true.
If they can't hire any, I don't think they have 30 people hired in the restaurant. I could be wrong, because this is my first time seeing it tonight. I didn't see 30 people, but I could be wrong, but I don't think they have 30 people hired. I don't even know if they have 20 people hired. Let me put it like that. But, and they may have 20 people hired. I don't know. But the problem I have is that right here, Salita, you know what we are. We have certain private restaurants right here that don't have any black people hired, even though we're heavy in the restaurant business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because around here, We have a company here, Salida, you know of, that's right not far from us in another little town, a black, majority black town called LeCount, Louisiana. It's called, it's spelled L-E-C-O-M-P-T-E, Indian word. They are, they're pies. They have got on the map nationally known for their pies. The name of the restaurant is called Lee's. And Lee's is famous for pies. People know that name throughout the world. Look it up. But the thing about it is that Lee's is owned by a white person. But guess who do all the pies? Some of them are done by black people. Not some of them, all of them.
Mm.
But if we can go make everybody else's pies, why can't we make our own? This same little town has what they call the Pie Festival. But the point I'm trying to make is, why is it that we can go make everybody else's pies? We can run their restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
We can run their businesses. We can
mm-hmm.
run whatever they have, but we can't run anything of our own. We won't run anything of our own, shall I say. Not that we can't.
We don't want the challenge.
Pardon?
It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and it's a stressful job. We don't want to do that.
You're right. You're so right. I remember I had a cousin of mine who's not only a cousin, but he's a good friend. He's passed on. And he admitted to me one day, told me when my mom used to work for the federal government and my dad used to work for the federal government years ago, and they both quit their jobs to start their own business. Back in the late 70s. And he told me he thought that my dad had talked my mom into the worst thing ever. He said, Lord, this man has made my cousin quit her job. That good government job she had. And it went business, if that thing go under, we're so scared. He told me he was scared it was going to go under. We're so scared to take a challenge that's going under. We'll get so sad. Same thing, Selena. I use the same scenario as those welfare checks.
Mm-hmm.
We're so scared. Some of them may be to the point where, you know, man, if I get that job and they fire me, I won't have no money coming in.
Yep.
But think about it.
Yeah.
About the mentality of that. It's the same thing as somebody with a job. Man, if I go start that business, what about if it don't make no money?
Mm-hmm.
How big my house note is and I don't make no money, and boy, I can't pay my house note. But we get caught up in this thing and we don't know how to react, but we can easily go work for them
mm-hmm.
and watch them prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up in the Mercedes Benz.
Mm-hmm,
watch
yeah.
Pull up and say, fix my Jaguar. Shine my Bentley. Give me a new set of tires on my Rolls Royce. And we'll gladly put them on. We'll gladly put the gas in for them. We'll gladly change whatever we need to change for them. And we'll even talk about, boy, I sit in a nice car today. Then we're sitting there, we're riding something from 1972 because we're too scared to do what they did. Stand up and take the bull by the horn.
Mm-hmm.
We are satisfied. We're satisfied with where we live. When I say where we live, meaning the type of dwelling we're in. You know, It comes to a point that we have to wake up and say, you know what? I'm better than that. Not that nobody's less than me, but by the virtue of me living, I am worth everything I can get and more. Because if you think and know that you are somebody, and somebody deserves the best of the best, not just anything mediocre.
But we have to also keep in mind we need not to get caught up in all the materialistic things. Not to say that no one deserves anything, I mean, the best of the best, like you said. But when we get caught up in all the materialistic things, we lose focus on what our whole initiative is when we went to the point where we wanted to start our own business, where we wanted to do the things that we wanted. My whole thing is I want to be comfortable. I never said I wanted to be a millionaire, a zillionaire, and I don't even look at it like that. I've never been that type of person. So I want to be comfortable. And comfortable to me might not be comfortable to you. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, let me put it like this, and it takes the world, it takes all kinds of different people make the world go around. I want to be rich.
I don't.
My thing is, in wanting to be rich, if I work toward being rich, I may not get there. But if I can work toward being rich and be comfortable in the way, then so be it. And if I become it, the reason I want to be rich is I want to be able to turn that money around and do some of the things that I'm wanting some of these large organizations to do that they won't do.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't have to try to, not that I won't have to, but it'd be less of a burden for me preaching to them when I can lead by example. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Not that I want to be rich because I just want to be greedy and sit there and say, look what I got. I want to be able to turn that money over and show you this is how you start a job. Because a wealthy person or wealthy organization can make a difference. They can make a difference. No matter what anybody says, I could turn my whole, if I'm wealthy, I could turn a vast segment of my community around with my wealth. Don't you think Oprah Winfrey can make a big dent in her community in which she lives if she wanted to?
Yes, she could, but she don't want to.
Of course she could. Don't you think 50 Cent can make a big dent in the community in which he lives?
Mm-hmm.
And think about for George and all the rest. But think about if they came together and bought that wealth together, not taking all of their wealth, but taking a piece of their wealth, just some of their wealth, which wouldn't hurt them at all. Bringing that wealth together, what could they do collectively? That's my part of wanting to be wealthy, putting that money to work where it could help the overall community. Funding out. That's why communities have us, you know, a lot of us say, you know, we think wealth is greedy because we want to be rich. No, other communities are able. When they run, think about it, when politicians, white politicians run for office, it's nothing for one of them to say, here's $10,000. Here's $15,000. Why? Have it. I can flaunt it. I can do what I want to. I can push my agenda. Us, we say, give me your $5. Hell, give me 50 cents. Because y'all, we poor. We don't have any money. But we start working with a mind that goes beyond the $10 and $5. And you know what? Here's $10. And the $10,000 doesn't faze me, meaning I'm not going to hurt if I give it up. And I learn I can crown and take that donation that I give to somebody or give to an organization, I can deduct a certain amount of that donation from my taxes, the wealthy people do. You know, that's when we ahead, when we start thinking on that level.
I'm going to tell you like this. I got my own business. My family's got what they need. My kids are all the way through college. They're finished. They got their own businesses, and they're doing their thing. I don't. What makes you think I need to give to you? Why should I want to do?
Because unless your community is prospering the way you're prospering, you hadn't moved an inch. You only think you've moved an inch.
Well, I'm not really concerned about them.
It's bigger than what you're concerned about, because that's because your mind is small. And that person that thinks like that, their mind is very small. Because for a parent or a brother or a sister, and I'm thinking blood-wise, to not worry about their children or their siblings is the same thing as a black person not worried about their community. It's the same thing. That community is your child. That community is your brother. It's your sister. And if you're only worried about you, the individual, and not worried about the community, you're not going anywhere. Because in the long run, the respect that goes out to you or your community only comes with the respect of all your people. Mm-hmm. If they don't prosper, you're not going to prosper. You may think it, but one day to reality hits you in the head and you get called out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're somebody going to be like a Clarence Thomas or a... No, I won't go there. That's going to Facebook, but I won't.
Okay, now that you're saying that, okay, this is the next set of questions, and it's dedicated to you and I. It says, do I read the business section of my newspaper? Do I prepare a monthly budget and stick to it? Do I monitor my credit rating at least once every 6 months? Do I work toward eliminating my debt? Do I pay my bills in a timely and consistent fashion? Do I have a savings account and dedicate percentage of it, of my earnings to it monthly? Do I talk to my family, neighbors, children, friends, and community members about important economic issues? Do I talk to my family, neighbors, friends, children, and community members about the value of understanding the economy and how it affects us? Those are the questions we ask ourselves.
This is a question, right?
Yeah, these are questions.
Now, what was the first question?
You gave so many.
Do I read my business section of my newspaper?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't. What's the next one?
Do I prepare monthly budget and stick to it?
No. I don't because periodically I have different things come up within you set a budget and you can stick to a budget. In my situation, I think everybody's situation is different. My demographics of my budget can definitely change. Now, do I overspend? Well, I bring in? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
The budget could definitely change. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know what? My thing is I had to learn it the hard way because I didn't have anybody to teach me how to do budgeting and all that. I had to learn it the hard way, and I hit a mini roadblock and did a lot of stuff to maintain. And I'm not saying anything legal. I'm just saying I did a lot of stuff to maintain because I had to. What I've learned, and I didn't think I would ever be able to do it because even with my time in the military, I got paid every 2 weeks. All jobs basically I've had was always every 2 weeks. Well, I am paid on a monthly basis. So I had to teach myself how to live within my means. And when I say that is I don't have that extra money and I don't get paid every 2 weeks. So I had to teach myself, okay, after you pay all your regular bills, this is what you have left over to play with. Now, you have to keep in mind, this has to last you for 30 days because I basically try to pay all my bills the first of the month. That's just, I'd rather do that than have to pay them all these different times during a month. So I make sure I have everything accounted for at least the first week of that month. So what's left over is what I get a chance to play with. Okay?
Okay.
Now, I have to keep in mind when I'm playing that this has to last you for the rest of the month till the first of the next month.
Right.
And it's a discipline thing. So preparing my budget every month, yeah, I do it. Stick to it, yeah, I have no other choice. I have to stick to it. And when I go over, it affects something else. So, yeah, I've learned to keep myself in my budget and sticking to it because I'm forced to do it. Now, if I was getting paid every 2 weeks like I was before, then that would be different. I could play because I'm looking forward to that coming out. Cause, and I know it's a little bit, and it's a little bit more than what, you know, because I know if I pay all this, next 2 weeks is mine. If I pay all my monthly bills at the end of the month on the 15th, that check is mine. But it's different now. Because everything comes out at one time, everything has to be paid at one time, and I had to do a lot of adjustment. So, yeah, I stick to my budget because I have no other choice but to stick to my budget. Now, if you don't have to do it, that's different. The rainy days, I don't worry about the rainy days. That's why I have a husband for the rainy days. But most of the time, I stick to my budget because I have no other choice unless an emergency, like you said, unless an emergency happens, and I've been blessed I haven't had a lot of emergencies that came my way.
I will say this, that I don't pay any bills. Physically pay them. Not that I don't pay them, but I don't actually have to go into paying them. I let the wife handle that, and she does a very good job at it. So I have to make sure that the money is there so it can be done. But I would say that people have to learn, for the most part, that things like budgeting is important.
It's very important.
We can't get away from it. Those who may not necessarily, I mean, even be honest with you, for those who have money, they still need to have some kind of idea of a budget, because of the fact that they don't have the idea of a budget, they can be spending so much money and not even realize it. You don't know, if you have a budget, you don't know what you're spending.
Yeah.
You maybe, unless you're using writing checks and you get a bank statement in, then you can realize how much you spent out during that month. It's very important that that type of thing is set up. You know, some people really don't realize it. It can be mind-boggling. What was one of the next question?
The next question was, do I monitor my credit rating at least once every 6 months?
No, I don't do that at all. The part of it is, if you monitor your credit rating, let's say your credit rating went down, what are you going to do to fix it? That's a whole other ball game.
Well, you'd have to find a way to fix it. You need to work on, I mean, not to say that you can do it immediately, but you can work on getting it to back to where it belongs.
Well, that can be a farce, too. I have a little bit of expertise in that, but that's a whole other show. Matter of fact, we may look at getting a gentleman on that can explain that to us. We may do that, Salita. Remind me of that.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? We could work this. We can work this for a little bit.
I have other stories. Yeah, of credit.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Not that I'm saying it shouldn't be, but that's a different ball game there when it comes to. But no, I don't monitor my credit every 6 months. I really don't.
What about working toward eliminating any debts that you have? And we got 4 minutes to go.
Now, working to eliminate some debts I have, I am on top of that.
Okay.
Can be a struggle, but you got to stay at it. You got to
if
you're trying to
like
eliminate it, you got to have it built in and see where you're going to go to get that done. Definitely.
The next one is, do I pay my bills in a timely and consistent manner?
Yeah, I've learned that. Not that I didn't ever want it 2 years ago, but definitely. I guess my wife's more than she's a stickler of paying those bills ahead of time.
Getting everything paid out
is over with, done with, and after that, then you know you kind of know where you are. But yeah, definitely, because those late fees will add up. You pay a whole lot.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, those late fees and paying things late, that stuff will eat you alive.
Yep. You know what, too? Before we go, we're both homeowners, so we might want to talk about, elaborate on being a homeowner, too. We might just take this accountability and turn it into a series. We could do that. We could break it down, starting with the budget, and then we could talk about the credit rating. Then we could talk about the importance of maybe having a savings account, or what's the pros and cons of having a savings and checking account. We can also talk about home ownership. I mean, I think it would be an awesome thing that we can start for right now until something else, until our other situation, our other story breaks free.
then we can
bring those people back on and talk to them. So I think it would be a great thing.
That sounds good, definitely.
Yeah. So next week we will be talking about accountability again, and it's going to be part two. Because we're going to make this a part one. And we're going to talk about, when we come back, we're going to talk about a budget, how to prepare a budget and how to maintain your budget. Let's do that for part two. Oh, I think this is a great series. I think we're going to have fun with this.
Okay, okay.
And,
sounds good to me.
We will get this going. I want to thank – oh, we got about 2 minutes.
I had one question. Where are you getting all that music from?
you know who that is?
Oh, is that your son?
No.
Who?
That's Chili Mouse.
The first part, the rapping?
No, not rapping. The last one was Chili Mouse.
Oh, the last one. Yeah, okay. Now, I knew the last one I didn't see, but I thought the first part was your son.
The first one is one of the guys I featured on my show on Lily's Author Showcase.
Okay, and then Chili Mouse was the last one. Okay, yeah. I have Chili CD. Yeah, it sure is. You're right.
This is my whole thing is if when I'm not playing them on my other radio show, I can upload them and put them in here. I can play them in here. So that's what I do.
Right.
Give everybody a little chance to hear something different.
Right. Well, you got to start telling us who we're listening to so that people know they might want to go pick up something so they know who they were just listening to.
Exactly. I'm going to have to start doing that. I'm playing this. I'm trying to be a DJ, too, so I'm trying to work it.
So y'all can check Chili Mouse out. He's on YouTube. He's a real good brother. Has some real nice sound. Some has an inspirational message, and some is just downright good R&B.
Exactly. Yep.
Clean R&B.
Yep. Clean R&B. Yes, we do. We have Leroy Clark. We have a gospel group called New Breed. I played them. We got the Prodigal Sons, which is also a part of New Breed. Very good songs. I got Rob Hughes. These are all people that's actually been on my show. So I told them and I kind of let them know that on Blog Talk Radio, what they don't hear, you know, when we don't play during on a Friday, I kind of put their music on my Blog Radio. Oh, I'm down to 90 seconds. Well, I want to say thank you guys for listening in. Thank you for chatting with me in the chat room, the ones who did come in. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank my co-host, Brian Coleman. I shall talk to you later. I'll see you Tuesday, Brian.
Yeah, remember Tuesday, Salita, they can hear us on KTTP. That's
www.kttp1110am.
9:30 in the morning.
I want to say good night, you guys. Say your peace. Bye-bye.
Peace.